This is an interview with Sister Elizabeth Carrigan for the Youngstown State University Oral History Project on the Ursuline Sisters by Donna DeBrazio on March 19, 1975 at 1:50 p.m. Sister Elizabeth Carrigan, could you please tell us about your family background and your educational background?
Certainly. I was born and raised on the east side of Youngstown. My entire life was spent at 178 Lincoln Park Drive, which is across from that historic Big Rock. It is well known. You know, as children we used to play there, and we didn't meet that the Indians had their council there. I think since that time there has been a plaque put on the rock. So I grew up in Lincoln Park, spent much of my life there. My parents were Irish immigrants. My father was a foreman for U.S. Steel. They were very providing parents. He worked very hard. He believed in good education, quite a bit of travel for us. So we used to spend our summers at Geneva, Lake Erie, traveling different places in the United States. All of us, the children in our family, there were four of us and I was the youngest. All of us went to Sacred Heart Grade School and Ursuline High School. One of my brothers had since died. There are two remaining members besides myself. My brother is a foreman now for U.S. Steel. My sister's husband is a metallurgist for U.S. Steel. And my brother, before he died, ran for politics in Youngstown and was secretary-treasurer for Snyder Bentler in Youngstown. My own education after graduating from Ursuline High School was at St. Elizabeth Hospital School of Nursing for a while, then entered the Ursulines. My undergraduate work was done at Youngstown University and St. John College in Cleveland. I received my master's from the University of Indiana. I did graduate work beyond the master's at Kent State, Catholic University, University of Iowa, Berry College in Florida. So I have 30 hours beyond the master's degree. My area of concentration is in guidance and counseling. In 1970 and 71, I spent the year as the assistant to the head of the psychology department at St. Thomas College in St. Paul, Minnesota, and as his personal assistant in traveling throughout the United States getting a program in interpersonal relationships. It's a program that he is the author of. It's called Interact. And during that year, I also did an internship in family counseling.
What influenced you to enter a religious life?
Well, probably I would say the idea of service came from the stability of my own family life. You know, I think if you read Abraham Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs, there is in that a statement that people entering service organizations, in order to be successful in that, have to have had the basic needs of inner childhood met. And I think that you know, my father's concern that we have the basic needs, physical, affectional, the status, safety needs met, probably I think had something to do with my desire to also share that with other people. And they were religious people, not particularly pious, and neither was I. You know, it was more of a faith type of thing on the providence of God and his concern for us and concern for our neighbors. And I think when I went to at Ursuline High School, I think the teachers there spent so much time with us and provided some of the things for us that I suppose I took an interest in also providing that for other people. It wasn't any great hope for, you know, saving the world or, you know, that I was called anything so terribly, terribly great. It was more of an interest reading and helping other people, I think, than I found any influence from the way I'm feeling that the teachers back then.
What influenced you to join the Earth Homes in particular?
I think because I had never thought of entering religious life until I was a senior in high school. And the interest in becoming a sister came from them and from our principal, who is, I think, well known by a lot of people in Youngstown, Father Joe Gallagher, who played a big part in education around the city of Youngstown, who was killed in an automobile accident, I think, in about 1948 or sometime around there. I think their influence and the activity with which I joined in on the programs at Ursuline probably influenced me in Ursuline.
Could you describe a typical day when you first entered the Ursuline Order?
When I first entered the Ursuline Order, of course, there were just a few of us in my class, and so we didn't have the fine program. I think it started even a very few years after I entered. At Logan Avenue, that's where I spent my novitiate, one of our big chores was to do cooking, and one of the typical days for me would have to do with cooking with all of us who were probably 18 to 20 years old who knew nothing about cooking for a whole house full of sisters. And my family used to tease me because they could always see, you know, we wore the habits with the veils, and we wore burned sleeves and burned veils, and we wore the old gimps, and my brother used to say that you could see the week's menu. I had spilled so many things on my gimp because it was just very difficult to get used to that sort of thing. You know, I think a separation from the family was more powerful at that time. You know, you didn't go home immediately like novices and postulants do now. And I think separation from my family and friends was a little more difficult. And visiting days and days like that were very important to us. And it was a greater and quicker separation, which we no longer have.
What have your duties been as a nun?
I have taught in the elementary school. I worked with student teachers in the elementary school. I taught at Cardinal Mooney High School for 12 years. At Cardinal Mooney, I put on shows. I was in charge of dramatics. I was head of the English department. I taught theology. And then for the last 5 years that I was there, I was director of guidance and counseling, co-director sometimes. We had a rather extensive guidance program there. And I served as senior class advisor on the activities that the senior class at Mooney did. In the dramatics course, we became rather well known for productions at Cardinal Mooney, which we would try to have as many students who were interested in being a show involved in Christmas shows and Veterans Day shows, senior plays, some musicals. I was quite active in that. Now, presently, I have a new position as Associate Vicar for Religious, and that name implies working with sisters, all orders in the diocese, planning programs for them, finding ways they can serve the church, interpreting their needs, and helping them grow with the changing needs of the times. I am also director of the House of Prayer, which the diocese has opened to deepen the prayer life of sisters. It has kind of a semi-contemplative aspect to it, and I think it's in tune with the times as far as the desire of sisters for a deeper and stronger prayer life. So that's what I'm presently engaged in now. I also, since 1971, have been greatly involved with lay people, with families, with giving programs to have more effective family communication and in the counseling of families.
What do you remember about any of the convents that you've lived at?
I guess I lived at Ray and Avenue Convent, and I remember that as an old place, but one that which the sisters were very close. At those convents, you know, we all got to know each other very well. Everybody went out to teach in a different school and then came home at night to the Ray and Avenue Convent, which is a little different now. For example, now if a sister teaches at St. Rose Gerard, she lives in a convent at St. Rose Gerard. When I lived on Ray and Avenue, many of us taught elsewhere. I taught at Cardinal Mooney High School and I would come home to Ray and Avenue. So that it was a large family kind of feeling, that we did many, many things together and had quite enjoyable times. I spent my novitiate in the Logan Avenue Convent, and then I moved to the new convent on Shields, which of course was delightful and big and good for us because we had grown into a youth or something like that. It had the added facility of swimming pool in our 15.
How are special occasions celebrated, like Christmas and Easter?
Are you speaking of now or
have they been?
Okay. I think there is a big difference in that. One of the things that my sister and sister-in-law and family miss is the old kind of celebrating we did together when my nieces and nephews, who are now in college, were small. All of the families of the sisters would kind of visit together. And my nieces and nephews, when they were 2 or 3 years old, would just love to come to the convent because they would see all these other children of nieces and nephews of the sisters, and they would run in the big halls and run up and down the steps and fall and cry and fight. And there are those sisters who claim that it's because of my nieces and nephews that the rule was changed that we were allowed to go home for vacation. So since that time now, we more ordinarily spend time with our families over the holidays, but the holiday itself is celebrated with a family dinner in whatever local community a person lives. Oftentimes they have big dinner, a mass or a liturgy, a gift exchange at Christmas. We celebrate things in a rather festive way, I'd say, the same as families do. And then we also, the next day, usually go home and celebrate part of our family celebration. That's sort of a free choice. A person can spend time with her family instead if she wishes. But most sisters more and more prefer to go home and spend a later time with her family. But the immediate day itself, they prefer to spend in which they live.
What do you remember about Ursuline High School?
I went to Ursuline High School. I never taught at Ursuline High School. I went to Ursuline High School and loved every minute of it. I think that we had lots of fun. It was a very vital place. I was an officer in my class when I graduated from high school, and we sponsored lots of dances and parties, and we were always involved in plays, things like that. I think that there was quite a bit of interest in academic excellence at Ursuline High School. I think that it was especially inviting to us because we made friends from people from all over town. I still, my closest friend is still somebody, when we went to Ursuline High School in the ninth grade, she was from the west side and I was from the east side, and we became friends. I still belong to a club of girls who formed a club when we were juniors at Ursuline High School. So it, I think it is a place that enters into a person's life and remains with anyone as they go through the years.
Can you describe the school when you went there?
When I went there, we had Father Joe Gallagher was the principal. The teachers were mostly Ursuline sisters. They probably did not have as many lay teachers at that time. The that main hall is, which is right up from the auditorium, you know, it was kind of a gathering place where we would be every morning. Our classes, the school was very much the same, except it didn't have the addition that's onto it. You know, it was later added to it after I graduated from there. Of course, we went downtown after school, and, you know, Strauss's was a hangout, and, you know, some of the restaurants down here we frequented regularly. And we would meet in town in the morning and go to school together, and we'd leave each other in town after school. Used to use school tickets and we'd have to get it on before 5 o'clock. My mother, you know, was rather understanding about that, and when I was a senior, did not want me to use school tickets anymore. She felt a little better about buying me a pass so that I wouldn't have to beat that 5 o'clock deadline, because too often I just didn't make it.
What sisters stand out in your memories and why?
Probably the one who stands out most in my memory is my is Sister Beatrice, who was my first principal. She, I began teaching at St. Rose de Girard, and I was really quite young, and I had a sixth grade, and I believed in a very well-rounded education for my children, which I felt strongly included square dancing and lots of projects and parties and baseball at recess. And I'm quite sure that my class was probably the most extroverted in the building, without a doubt. But Sister Beatrice was an older person, and she always used to say, oh, she'll learn. And she was quite patient, really, with all these new ideas that I was always wanting to put in. I think I was much more innovative and creative than I was practical about many things, but she always encouraged that in me, and I think that was a very important thing in my life. Mother Blanche was superior at that time, and she too, I think there were a lot of us as young nuns, and she allowed us to do quite a few things because we just always wanted to be involved in new ideas and new things, and she tolerated that beauty quite well, I would say. My high school teachers, of course, were Sister Kathleen and Sister Rosemary and Sister Margaret, who has since died. Those were some of the teachers for Ursula when I was there, and they stand out. My first grade teacher, Sister Anna Marie, I think everybody's first grade teacher. And then, of course, I have had many friends, close sister friends, who have since left the community, who are very dear to me, to Jude, Patricia, very close friends of mine, who have chosen since other walks of life and they stand out in my mind. He's playing a big part in my life.
What years of your own religious life stand out?
Probably the ones I'm in presently stand out quite a bit because I think I'm into something that is almost the future for religious life. Other than the present ones, the ones that stand out the most, I think, are the years I spent at Cardinal Mini High School, because it was a new school, it was a very active and vital school,
it was in direct competition with Ursuline High School, and therefore, you know, had that competitive attitude that I suppose was engendered more by the faculty than by the students, because many of us had graduated from Ursuline High School. We had five different orders of sisters teaching there. We had laymen from all walks of life, and then I think putting on shows with students, and we had maybe 250 students in a Christmas show. And to see them develop, you know, in their own social graces and their own talents, I think I found very interesting and exciting. And those are probably the years. The work I'm in right now, as I said at the beginning, is an extremely interesting work, and I think is very important for the future, both of religious life and the place of sisters in the world.
What unique things do you remember about the Mother Superiors who you served under?
Well, Mother Blanche, as I was saying, certainly was very good with us as young people, allowed us a great deal of freedom in pursuing our own educational interests. Any interest we might have in graduate work, it was just taken for granted that that was good and that was to be done. I think she encouraged us a great deal on that to become very professionally excellent. Mother Ada Marie, of course, I think I remember most because at that moment in time, we needed very much to have a new mother house, and the effort she put forth in getting that up, I think, is a credit both to her, to the community, and really to the people of Youngstown, because that was such a need.
What changes have you noted within the order from when you first entered in now?
Like any community, I see, well, any religious community in the present time, everybody went through a struggle. You know, after Vatican II, when communities were told to renew themselves, what we hadn't even thought of as needing renewing, we suddenly realized did. You know, we were living and working and not, you know, having to come to too much grips with this. But when we start looking about the fact that, although I think we were very involved in the times before Vatican II, many of our lifestyles were not keeping up with that. You know, our clothes and our schedules, that sort of thing, had to be studied. So I think there has been a big change in that. The most recent change that I think has happened now is this. I think sisters see themselves in a role of real service to the world individually. They see themselves as very contemplative people and want to deepen their prayer life. And in that deepened prayer life, they wish to share with the world. Their vows they see now not so much as something that they keep in themselves, but for example, poverty or celibacy are meant really more to allow them the freedom to be, to work in the world and to help people. I think there's a great interest in that, and I think there's a great interest in prayer.
Do you approve these changes?
Yeah, I strongly approve of them. I think they are very, very good. I think that religious life is stronger and better than it's ever been before. You know, when we're talking about the superiors, I think, you know, the present superior of the Ursuline, Sister Mary Conrad, has done a great deal toward keeping this movement going and strengthening the individual sister and her commitment. I think that the community has decreased somewhat in numbers because of people leaving, and that, of course, had to be at that time. I think that's true of anything when you reevaluate. I think that what has come out of it is
is a very realistic kind of part of the world, helping the world, liking the world, but being of Christ, and I think it's very important.
How do you think the image of the sister has changed among the people outside the religious community?
Well, that would be hard to say, because I think it's changed as much as there are kinds of people. You know, there are so many different kinds of sisters. You know, before, people used to be able to say, sister says, you know, or the sisters do this. And now there's as much variety among the sisters as there are among the people. And so some people think that it would be better if the sisters were sisters like they were in the past. Some people, I just was at a party recently where some people were talking about the new sisters, they were calling them more the sisters of the present day. And they feel that the sisters of the present day are doing so much for, you know, lay people or helping people in a very positive, good way. I think as time goes on, and I think because of things like this, people will have a greater understanding of really what the life of a sister is. I think at one time it was all mystery, and then all of a sudden it was all public and seemed to be chaotic, and now we're leveling off into a new thing where it's no longer mystery, it's understood, but understood more realistically.
Why do you think it's difficult to get modern women to enter a religious life?
Well, I think it's difficult in our world today for anybody to commit themselves to anything for life. I don't think that's just in religious life. I think college students find it hard to commit themselves to a lifelong job. I think college students find it hard to think of themselves in a lifelong marriage. You know, I think our society is kind of at that point. So I think that religious life, along with that, goes along with that idea of permanency of a whole lifetime. Seems like a long time. Just recently, I was talking to a girl who has graduated from college, who has made plans to enter a religious community, and she said that, you know, a couple of years ago when she and I were talking, I was ready for holding off for a year or two. That was 2 years ago. I think things have changed. I think 2 years ago we were still trying to reevaluate religious life. I think 1975, there are going to be a lot of people entering religious life from now on. Not the same numbers that there were in the 1940s, maybe, but religious life is again seen as a vital form of life. And I think that the changes now allow for a girl to live a religious life in a 1975 or 1980 world and lead it well. So I don't really see it as going to be as difficult now as I did even 2 years ago. I think things have changed that much in the last 2 years. I think she can be her own person. I think she can develop her own individuality and serve as a religious woman just as well as she can in the United States.
What do you think is the future direction of the Ursuline Order?
Well, the future direction of the Ursuline Order, I think, hopefully, is going to just keep changing as the needs of the time change. I think that the development of a sister so that she is, you know, within herself, not dependent so much on structure, but upon her own freedom of person to go out and meet the needs of people. We recently had a speaker in who spoke that today a sister is called to be present in an affective way, that is, in a feeling way with the needs of the times and with her own call from God to serve. So I think that the sister is going to be more on her own to do it, and yet within a strong community of support, but not so much structure. I think she's going to be doing whatever
all kinds of things. Where I hope the sisters are going to spend some time on is helping in family life. I also think that in education, and particularly in the field of Catholic education, because I think that in any system, a two kind of education is better, you know, public and a parochial, just help each other. And sisters on the university level, sisters in adult education, sisters in communication arts, you know, media, television, radio. Sisters are presently in that, and I think they will continue to be. Sisters are in houses of prayer like we have here. This is a new idea. And the whole aspect of a sister spending her whole life in helping people pray. Now that wasn't so 15 years ago. Her work was mostly teaching them to read and write, you know. Now I think the whole ministry of prayer is important. So these are all ways that I see sisters of the future serving, but I also think there are unknown ways that they're going to serve, the same as Youngstown College students. University students see themselves serving, doing things now that 15 years from now they will have grown from that into something else. And I think that your son sisters will do the same thing.
Do you have any other comments you have to make?
No, I just think that I have spent my entire life in Youngstown. I think this is a good opportunity for us to be able to share our way of life with you and your interests with us. And I think that's really important to all of us.